Thank you, Mr. Löscher. Now it's time for your questions, ladies and gentlemen. Give us a show of hand, and then I'll pass the floor to you. Two questions. First, you'll be given a microphone and wait for the mic to arrive. I see quite a number of hands. Mr. Flämig, you're number one. It's nice to see you back in our group. And then Mr. Büttner, Mr. Flämig.
Mic number four. And then Mr. Höppner. Mr. Löscher, Mr. Käser, I've got three questions. Firstly, about the margin targets. For which activities are they changed, or are individual targets modified? And secondly, on the industry sector, profitability and revenue are supposed to go down. Can you tell us to what extent? And second aspect of this question, you mentioned, Mr. Löscher, that there will be further restructuring there. What restructuring cost do you expect for what activities? And my third question, the NSN equity participation, the operational situation is not satisfactory, and further restructuring is on the horizon. Now there is a long-standing contract, and the environment is not favorable. So my question is, would Siemens be ready also to shed this participation at a low price or at no price?
Thank you very much. Margin targets for 2010 will remain the same, but we must see quite clearly that these margin targets are targets which are measured against our best competitors. So the bandwidth, and also based on the fact that we are in a normal economic environment, or they were based on the assumption that the economic environment would be normal. Now, in 2009, the 15 divisions and sectors have already approached these margin targets, which makes us proud. They will remain the same for 2010. They are ambitious, but because of the distortions caused by the financial crisis and its effect on the real-world economy, we cannot expect all divisions to be able to attain those margin corridors or attain figures within those corridors. So again, the clear guidance for 2010 as a whole. The restructuring of the company. I know that there has been a lot of speculation, although I keep saying the exact opposite. There is no group restructuring program at Siemens for 2010, and we don't need that. And this does not exist even for one sector. Instead, the crisis shows us that on the one hand, we have business. When we look at that volume, it is a late cyclical business like the energy business, the industry business. We're expecting during the second half to see a slight recovery from this deep crisis. After the worldwide plummeting of 9%, that we will see a recovery, but we don't have exact figures on that. At the moment, the businesses are defining the figures for themselves over the next months and defining where volume will be recovered and where we have to expect a structural reason for not attaining the 2008 and 2007 level, and hence certain measures for adaptation are necessary. This is why we will do, as we've always done, the restructuring measures which are ahead of us will be made as socially palatable as possible. First, we will discuss this with the employees. We will then communicate this to our staff, and once we know what will be done specifically in certain businesses and locations, we will also communicate this to you. And Mr. Fiebig, I would take the other questions. You said that the decreases in margins and revenue were announced. Of course, the crisis has hit that industry hardest. It started with Osram, short cycle businesses, industry automation. But we believe that we've reached the trough, but there are cases where we have not seen the trough, the longer cycle businesses, for example, drive technology or industrial solutions or building technologies. And here we will see a further decline, probably. So all in all, the reduction of the actuals in the margin vis-à-vis the forecast will be as a result of the industry sector. Now, the restructuring in 2009, 500 million is the total figure for restructuring cost. Mr. Löscher mentioned what's going to happen in 2010, and this will, of course, depend on whether these are temporary or structural measures at individual places. The NSN equity interest, I think we've shown that we are not happy with the way business is going there. Of course, we have to concede that the conditions in this industry since the founding of the joint venture have deteriorated considerably. And this concerns both the market development and the fact that there are new competitors, especially from the British area, and they're penetrating these markets. The Nokia Siemens Networks joint venture is fully backed by its founders. Of course, parent companies are important in bad times. In good times, subsidiaries do well independently, but we will not be a company after the joint venture period runs out, we'll take over the joint venture. So we've made a clear statement here, but we'll support the joint venture, and the value increase, which is there, of course, is something we want to tap into. Mr. Hoeppner, do you have a microphone? And then Mr. Kern. Good morning. I have three questions, too. Even if there is no group-wide reduction program, Works Council said 10,000 jobs might be shed. Do you think this is a realistic figure? The second question, SG&A. You gave us the targets were set in better times. Will these be modified, or is the cost basis the right one for the reduced capacity we're seeing at the moment? And the third question concerns your portfolio. How about IT services? What's going to happen now? And, for example, hearing aids, are they also on the list of things to be sold off? Thank you very much, Mr. Hoeppner. I've tried to address the first question already. I can assure you that neither myself nor anybody else at Siemens knows a program which would lead to the figure you're mentioning. I would really warn you not to sketch scenarios in which the law of the big figure plays a role. And we are now in a certain situation of crisis, and the individual operational units must define where certain adaptation measures must take place. That's all. This is why we will see step by step what will happen. And we will run through that process I described. There is no figure as the 10,000 you mentioned, and there is no such program. The SG&A, I think we have been extremely successful in not only achieving this, but being even better than that, 2 million euros. And from the group point of view, that program has been concluded. So responsibility has been handed back to the operational units, which will then have to get a grip on their sales, general and administration costs. So I think we have made excellent progress and also achieved excellent results. And the figures show quite clearly the result. Now, the portfolio policy, I would leave it at the Siemens policy we've always had. We will not comment rumors which exist on the markets, and I'm sure you'll appreciate why. Mr. Kuhn, on this. Mr. Hoeppner, we did not send that we weren't going to shed the SIS. We said we wanted to strengthen the SISS by giving the IT business at Siemens a solid foundation so that ISS is able to act powerfully. We believe that the IT sector has a great potential for value increase. This potential has to be tapped. This is not easy work, of course. This is something we have to see. We have to focus quite clearly and clearly concentrate on the strengths with which SIS has as part of Siemens. I also think that SISS should be a symbol of faster, more innovative and stronger. And once we have tapped into that potential, we can do what we want, up to an independent stock exchange figure. But again, first things first. First, we want to create the right environment for the SIS in order to be able to tap that potential. That's all I can say on that. Mr. Kroon and then Mr. Schäfer.
Following up on what Mr. Kieser said, we know Siemens's wording, which is, as you said at the beginning, it's beginning the opt-out phase. What's the timetable? How much time does SIS have in order to perhaps cling a bit to the Siemens group? Is it 1 year? When we're here in 1 year's time, we'll hear whether SIS is still a member or is out. In addition to going public, could there also be a selling off of the company? I think these are the two possibilities. Could you give us more details on that? Then about the targets in terms of rate of return. This morning we heard from the agencies that for the industry those targets were cut down when you stick to energy. And could you tell us in general terms, Mr. Löscher says your targets of return will remain in force. Mr. Kieser, you said that in industry you're not going to reach your targets. Could you tell us clearly, industry 9% to 13%, energy 11% to 15%, healthcare 14% to 17%, targets, return on investment. Will these goals remain in force? Last question, how much have you saved as a result of the sourcing initiative in this current year? Well, let me start with the targets on return. I've tried to be very clear. For 2010, these targets will remain in place for 2010. They'll remain in place. The Fit for 2010 program remains in force. What I told you is that because the way they were drafted compared to the best competitors and in a normal business situation, and because of the upheavals in the financial industry and the impact on the real economy, we cannot assume that at the end of next year we'll be here and all businesses will have reached their targets. It doesn't mean that one sector may be excluded. It applies to all units, but we must remain realistic. I'm sure that there will also be individual businesses in the industrial sector which will stand a good chance of running good profit. Whether it's going to be 9 next year, we don't know. It's not going to be all of them. But our target is and remains to manage our business the correct way through the crisis. Question I don't understand. Will you retain the goals of the sectors, but underneath the sectors in the business areas, you will have to assume different goals in terms of rate of return? No, I'm not contradicting myself, says Mr. Löscher. The targets remain in force. We cannot assume that all divisions in 2010 will reach them, but we'll cling to these targets for all divisions, all sectors. Whether it will be 9 end of next year or how many, we'll see. But the targets remain unchanged. Then, Mr. Kieser, there was a follow-up question about SIS. And then we'll move on to the sourcing initiative. SIS first. Well, I think I addressed that point before. With respect to the timetable, it's like this. Details of such a legally independent position will have to be discussed with the agencies and the company. There will be a meeting of the sports and agencies tomorrow. We'll have to agree, and once we have agreed, we will then communicate the timetable accordingly. Ms. Cooks, Mr. Löscher already said that in sourcing we are making good progress and we've been quite successful. Brief comment, in 2009, the sourcing volume of Siemens was about 37 billion euro, which is roughly half of our revenue. The targets which we also communicated externally, as we heard from Mr. Löscher, we moved ahead quite well. We started quickly. Everybody is committed. We are well on our way. And 2009 targets were met in full. And now in 2010, the performance will be just as good. We're working for it. 37 billion is quite a volume. If that is optimized, it does have an influence on the profitability and the competitiveness of the company, which has become significant in 2009. But as we said in April, no targets, no results are to be disclosed for one reason, because otherwise this will be used by our customers in price negotiations. But let me confirm, Mr. Korn, we started on the right foot. We are well underway. In 2009, we made a significant contribution and will continue to do so in 2010 and design it so sustainable that it will be a lasting competitive edge for Siemens for the future. Next, Mr. Schaefer, mic number 3. Here, I can't see the name. Shachov is the name. I come from Russia. The name of the paper is Arbeits und Daily. I have a couple of questions for Mr. Löscher and the other board members. Question number 1. What are your views of the duration of the economic crisis, the worldwide crisis? Question number 2. You referred to the importance of the emerging countries to Siemens. Could you say a few words about Russia in that respect? You referred to energy. Oh, so you referred to trains and could you also say a few words about the possible development of your economic projects or space projects rather? Do you have an idea of the size of the space market, the worldwide market, or that alternative energies, that is, wind power plants, etc.? Mr. Sharkov, question number 1, our assessment of the world economy. Right now, the economy is developing at very different rates worldwide. We have excellent growth in China right now. We also see India in a clear growth trend. Brazil, surprisingly, with excellent growth. These are growth supporting markets in the present environment. Also Qatar, Abu Dhabi. Also, and this brings me to Russia. We believe in the future of Russia. Firmly so, and in the clear alignment of the Russian government to the modernization and upgrading of infrastructures. We are well on our way in this respect too. You addressed the large number of projects. which we carry out with AGD, whether it's the high-speed train or the most recent project we are bidding for to supply the trains for Sochi, the Olympics in 2014. We are also willing to cooperate with local partners in terms of technology and localization measures of individual projects. And I think right now there's a chance for Siemens to send out clear-cut signals that we are not going to withdraw in the current crisis, which also has hit Russia, but use our investments to move forward. We have excellent partnerships. Another project, the energy efficiency program in Yekaterinburg, maybe one example of the so-called green projects currently underway in Russia. Savings potentials were earmarked in the first phase of the study on the order of up to 44%. If you simply look at today's infrastructure and technologies compared to the new plans, clearly the Russian government is focusing on energy efficiency and its increases during the crisis. And Siemens is an excellent partner in these efforts. And now for Mr. Schaefer and then Mr. Meyer.
Mr. Schaefer, I have several questions, Mr. Löscher. First of all, you mentioned the strong growth in countries such as China or other emerging countries. But Siemens has something of a focus in Germany or Europe. Can you tell us if there are plans also to relocate manufacturing facilities more into emerging countries? This is something which is, of course, well, seen slightly critically by the capital market, that being sort of having too strong a focus in Germany or Europe. And, you know, the capital market always likes global restructuring programs, not just small parts or bits and pieces, with smaller individual measures instead of having a master plan, especially in the industrial business. Is Siemens not sacrificing or endangering the advantage having gained by the SG&A program, also vis-a-vis competitors? And the third question is, for the industry business, you have given an outlook. When do you expect that the trough is reached with regard to the falling order volumes? When do you think there will be a point of inflection in the trend? Thank you very much, Mr. Schaefer. I think here today we've shown for the first time a slide which shows how we are positioned in the emerging countries, in the developing countries. And I think there is a bit of a misconception. If today we have one-third of our orders there, if we have 106,000 staff, that is a high number. It is not so much a relocation discussion, really. I think what it is that we are operating from Germany not just as an innovation company or with high innovation, but with products which are below the cutting edge technology. We are innovating from within these emerging countries for the markets there. I can give you two examples here. For example, in healthcare, Somatom Spirit, which is our commuter tomography equipment, developed in China, and it's also manufactured in China. It was originally made for the Chinese market, and meanwhile, It is the most successful computer tomograph. So this shows us that for certain product segments, this strategy is very successful. And again, this has an impact on Germany or Europe or the US. It creates jobs in the service sector. The second one, a sensor, it's our 1.5 Tesla MI device, which is also manufactured in China. It was developed there too. It's produced in China. And that is generating excellent revenue in certain segments of customers outside China. So our we call that the M3 segment. This is the medium, the mid segment, where quality differentiation and a certain innovation differentiation exist, but combined with a certain simple functionality. These products are developed in these countries and sold into these countries or for similar markets. So this is much less a discussion about shifting capacity. It is more looking at where we have to round off the product side so that we have a broader product range with certain price or function options, and also to use intelligently the network. This is necessary also because for Siemens, a great growth driver are the stimulus programs which are being launched and implemented on a global basis. And in all these stimulus programs, there are expectations that a certain local portion exists. We are excellently positioned for that. And I think this is one area where we can really use our strength and take advantage of our strength. Development, manufacturing, and these 106,000 staff, we are already there. We are on the site. So this is really a complement, an intelligent complementation of what we have. It is not about shifting capacity. Regarding the across-the-board or master plan-type restructuring program, I would like to stress quite clearly here that when you look at the most recent year, our revenue curve was straight as opposed to our competitors. If you look at our staff figures, 427,000 to 405,000, a reduction. So 22,000 staff was shed worldwide, which is 5%. This is the SG&A program. I think the competitive force and the cost position of Siemens, I think I can state here that we have carried out some clear modifications and adaptations, and now we have to look at individual businesses. This is the next step. Also, with the social responsibility, which I mentioned, these units will keep adapting and develop their businesses further. Now, the decisive point is that we are using the crisis for an innovation drive. This is the difference between Siemens and many of our competitors. In this time of crisis, our R&D budget has been increased by 3%. We quite deliberately concentrated on future markets, Desertec, solar thermal, smart grids, electromobility, green infrastructure for urban environments. These are all modern topics. These are all things of the future. And I think at the end of the crisis, we will find again that what is important is innovation leadership. This is what we want to use and leverage in this time of crisis, and also as a possibility to emerge from this crisis stronger. This is our clear commitment. This is Siemens' commitment. And there was a third question about the trend change in the new orders volume. I would like to get back to the capital market and the restructuring. Now, the capital market is, of course, not a greedy leviathan gorging and waiting for jobs to be cut. The capital market is looking for a payback from the programs. And the capital market likes to see a payback. And the SG&A program generated a lot of payback 1 year earlier. And now let's just be happy, all of us, that we've managed. Now, the supply chain management program has been launched with Ms. Crooks. That is working well, and the success we've achieved there in purchasing, for example, have been sufficient and, in fact, been even more to compensate for the price situation in the market. And, of course, you don't have to ask customers for price cuts. So with our SG&A, we are compensating the effect. And if we achieve the same next year, we'll be happy. We've just decided, you may have read this, that in real estate management, we will go one step further. We will consolidate property. And in the long run, up to 400 million euros can be saved. So a lot of stuff is going on at Siemens, in addition to innovation, to cut costs. So I think the next thing is not just talk about things, but do things. You see our environmental portfolio, and many talk about this. We are people, we like to act. So it's maybe not necessary to hit the headlines with big programs. The thing is to get going, to achieve our goals. The change in trend, Mr. Löscher mentioned this in his speech, with the short cycle businesses, for example, Osram and industrial automation, during the second year of the fiscal year, we're expecting things to pick up. We're expecting demand to pick up, maybe not necessarily revenue, but demand. And this is something that seems to be on the horizon, especially in optoelectronics, whereas with others, such as building technology or the drive technology, we haven't really seen the bottom of the curve. These are businesses like industrial automation, which have longer cycles, and the reduction in new orders last year and at the end of the year before that is reflected in revenue now. In energy technology, the situation is stable. We're really benefiting from the performance of renewables and our new turbines, which are which receive very positive response. So the situation is a little difficult, but our order backlog and it will balance out a bit. The late cyclical effects will transpire in 2010, and it would mean that we have to get to work. Ladies and gentlemen, we have another 30 minutes. I have 11 people who have requested the floor. Could you tell us a little bit about healthcare, though, regarding new orders? Yes, the healthcare business, of course. In 2009, the U.S. environment or the conditions were difficult. This is a bit of speculation because the American program, of course, has not been approved. How the health system is going to develop, we don't really know. We believe that in 2009 the American market will remain difficult, or in 2010. Asia will grow, Europe will stay at the same level, and Japan will be difficult. So as a whole, regarding the overall trend, the health business will be below the long-term trend, but will be a stable business in 2010 and also be a stabilizing factor compared with other industries. Right. To give everybody a chance who has asked for the floor, we would ask you to ask two questions, and then we'll have we answer en bloc. On my list, we now have Mr. Meyer, Mr. Miller, Mr. Fau, Mr. Matuszek, Thibault, Ms. Meyer, Mr. Arnowski, Mr. Hildebrand, Stahl, Decker, and Weiss. And I suppose that there are no further requests for the floor we can take. Mr. Meyer, and directly after that, Mr. Müller. Mr. Meyer.
Thank you. Could I follow up on the question of our colleague from Russia? Rosatom was mentioned. What about nuclear power now that the energy sector is in full swing? Secondly, you surprisingly mentioned Abu Dhabi and Qatar as emerging countries. Could you say a few words about that region? And then headcount. What is the present situation or the perspective for short-time work? You want to reduce, say, or you achieved your goals, even exceeded the goals in reducing sales and administrative costs. These goals are ambitious. How many jobs were lost as a result of that program? Mr. Müller, and then Mr. Voss and Mr. Mortischeid. Mr. Müller, three questions. As I don't quite see what you mean by saying you had not achieved a maximum or flexibility in terms of hiring experts. Could you explain that? You have an organic loss of sales for this year. That's the forecast. Could you say a few words about acquisitions and sales development and revenue development? Then portfolio streamlining. The Metal Workers Union accused you yesterday of getting rid of staff in a dirty way. Well, let me begin with Mr. Meyer. There's nothing new I can say about Rosatom today. Abu Dhabi and the Gulf region. Well, the Gulf region, of course, must be viewed differently. On the one hand, Dubai, very difficult. But Abu Dhabi continue to improve the infrastructure massively. Even if you look at the energy sector, investments in Masdar City, for instance, in the first CO2-free city, this means massive infrastructure investments. And we are an excellent supplier of intelligent power grids, electromobility, energy-efficient building structures, and so on and so forth. It's an important country market for us, also Qatar. We're very happy indeed to see that German Rail recently secured a fantastic big contract, and we hope that this will open up chances for our business, and we'd like to take up these opportunities. Saudi Arabia continue to invest specifically in the energy sector, but also oil and gas. Saudi Aramco run a huge investment program, which are important growth drivers in terms of customers and markets, as far as we're concerned. You asked about short-term work. Right now, 11,000 staff are in short-term work. This is flexible. It breathes. It's flexible as planned. We're grateful to the government for this program having been expanded also for the future. I think it's an important and good instrument, and it shows that we can react flexibly to demand and depending on the location. Right now it's 11,000 people. Mr. Meyer, we deliberately agreed with the labor representatives. The SG&A program was never meant as a job-cutting program. It was meant to cut costs. Talking about 2 billion now means that an important part is that, on the one hand, IT costs were reduced, that non-personnel costs and traveling expenses were reduced, consulting costs. Non-personnel, that's far more than personnel costs. So for this reason, we agreed with the labor representatives that this would not be a program to cut jobs or reduce headcount, but a cost-cutting program, which we more than fulfilled. An important part are the non-personnel costs. Would you like to add to this? Yes, SISS. I said that SIS is to be given the space to adapt better to the current environment. Siemens, the three sectors, is business in industrial assets. IT is a consulting business in the broadest sense. Outsourcing business have a characteristic, namely that restructuring is a core competence. Acquiring customers, computer centers means integration. So restructuring and job requirements must be harmonized. Power industry and healthcare and others and IT should not be balanced out, and we would lose experts in IT. In the professional IT business and software consulting, we compete with consulting companies like Accenture or Capgemini. You know that consulting models are pyramid-shaped hierarchies where certain features, certain competences also must be available when they are needed, and they are paid for on a grand scale. If these competences are not required, we must make sure that these grand scales of pay can be reduced again. In the environment of industrial goods company like Siemens, it's possible, but it takes time. These are just a few examples of what we'd like to emphasize more in the future. Portfolio. I think we also clearly said that the focus of growth will be organic growth, which will remain in place. But we have fantastic examples where we feel that high-tech companies exist which would match our portfolio exactly at the focal points we envisaged, and I'm sure that we'll take growth opportunities when they arise. For instance, Solel. But don't expect any major acquisitions. The focus clearly will be in this direction. And also in this crisis, again and again, we'll try to find out what subjects other companies can develop more effectively than we can do. Where are there different business models which we may not be able to join or willing to join because we have other focal points other than infrastructure companies? These are subjects which must be analyzed also in the light of the whole portfolio. So we must be the best owner of businesses, which means that there may be acquisitions and also divestments. We are a living company, which clearly must focus on its three main areas, and this is where we want to do business, in areas where we feel we are either number one or two or become number one or two. There may be other subjects as well where this is not going to be the case, and our business and entrepreneurial responsibility will be met. Mr. Voss, next. SIS again. What is the headcount of SIS now? What is the revenue of the company if it were independent, inclusive of Siemens business? What's the duration of the service contract you will give SIS when they become independent? Nokia Siemens joint venture. Nokia wrote off 1 billion, you 1.6 billion. You seem to have a more pessimistic view of this business than your partner has. Is that interpretation correct? What's the current book value of NSN? And then the question about the forecast, 20% on the result of last year and continued activities. If I take out depreciations of NSN, which you may not have again, it's more than 20%. Or am I wrong in doing my sums? Mr. Motyshek? Mr. Löscher?
Renewable energy. Could you say a bit about your investments in wind turbines and for the North Sea region? And given the depreciation of sterling, do you regard Britain now as a low-cost manufacturing location? Can we expect some investments there? It's certainly lower cost than Germany. Secondly, with regard to green, do you still regard nuclear as an interesting proposition, given your difficult experience in the Olkiluoto project in Finland and the enormous delays in the construction of nuclear power stations? Is the nuclear industry a bit of a lost cause at the moment, or are you still interested?
Okay, wir versuchen kurz zu antworten, damit wir alle Fragesteller noch zu Wort kommen lassen können. Herr Käfer, bitte.
Mr. Käfer. SIS. SIS has 4.7 billion revenue in fiscal 2009, about 35,000 staff members, 10,000 of them in Germany. I'll have to be brief, Mr. Heimbach. Revenue, well, that's the same before and after divestment, because SIS will be fully consolidated and there will be no change in the group as a consequence. NSN, Nokia had a different amount of depreciation, 1.6 billion in our case. Why Nokia arrived at different figures? Well, they will have to answer. Our business plans, our long-term observations, and the net value of this business plan was discounted, and the book value is consolidated at equity. This was 1.6 billion as a result. In 2007, when merging the Siemens and Nokia parts in NSN, we had a partial gain of roughly, well, even a bit more, at the same level. And we felt it was the right amount. As far as the book value is concerned, which is at equity in our case, if we had to depreciate the same level again, there wouldn't be much left. And the forecast? The forecast, yes, that's important. The forecast has been clarified, that is, as you can see in the handouts, restructuring and portfolio effects and possibly also changes in value because of revaluation of assets. This is taken out, so we make the whole thing comparable. And the 1.6 billion of NSN should be deducted to create a new basis and make it comparable for the new fiscal year for interpretation. A few words about the wind turbines. That's an extremely important growth area. 6 billion euro orders in hand. It's a business where we clearly, right now, advance worldwide investments, because also in the United States we want to participate in the upswing. We have a joint venture in China where we want to go ahead because the Chinese market is interesting to us. We just secured a major contract in Mexico. It's business where you see that projects exist all over the world which are interesting to us. The focus, I think, is correct. Siemens by far is the world market leader in offshore wind power plants. The UK is an excellent case in point. In the industrial footprint of this business, we will become more global, be it production or service or one-off component fabrication. We firmly believe that this is going to offer huge growth opportunities to us. What we see in a crisis is that business depends very much on its cyclic phenomena, depending on whether a major contract is secured in a quarter or not. There will be fluctuations, but opportunities are great in this business, and Siemens will continue to invest. Nuclear power, well, deliberately, it's not part of our green portfolio. When we talk about a green portfolio, nuclear is excluded. But we simply believe, if you look at the investment program worldwide, it's on the order of 400 projects being planned. Certainly not all of them will be built, but you may pick any number. It's a highly interesting growth market, and we believe that it's a technology which at least for decades ahead will be important for a broad energy mix. And at the end of the day, the country will have to decide how this fits into the energy policy. Customers will have to decide. But as far as Siemens goes, it's clearly full of growth potential. Mic number two for Mr. Thibault. Mic number two. And then Ms. Meyer next. Ms. Meyer, could you give us a show of hands so we can give you a mic? And the next round, Mr. Arnofsky and Mr. Hildebrandt. Mr. Thibault. I work for Les Echos. Two questions. One question about nuclear once again. You're talking about restrictions in the negotiation process decided on the 17th of November by the arbitration court. Could you explain that, please? And this relates to negotiations with Areva. When do you expect an outcome of these negotiations? And when do you expect a final agreement with Rosatom? Second question, Areva Tiende. The company will be sold to Alstom and Schneider. As a consequence, a major player in the market will be created. Do you see any problems of competition in Europe which you'd have to report to the EU Commission? Ms. Meyer? Well, thank you. I have a few follow-up questions about SIS. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I seem to remember that that had become independent a couple of years ago, and then it was reintegrated. Why should it work better this time? Then pensions. There's still a loss of 4 billion, higher than the year before, although the stock market has clearly picked up. How do you intend to fill this gap? Interest rates will become low, so this is not going to ease the tension. How will that gap be filled? And two short questions about the termination of the corruption business. You said when the action for damages against board members have been settled, then there were plans to sue the second and third levels, which was not for the supervisory board to do. Have you taken any steps? You also agreed with Herr von Pierre. Herr von Pierre was not allowed to enter the premises of the company before. Is that ban going to be lifted? First Mr. Thibault and then Mr. Käser. Mr. Thibault, I'll be very brief. We, for this reason, also clearly noted this under legal proceedings, but there's not anything beyond what's printed there. The D&D business of Areva, well, we read in the papers what's going on, and for understandable reasons, I'm not going to say anything about third companies. Then pensions. Ms. Meyer, SIS had been independent in a subgroup. It was then integrated into Siemens, especially the operating organization. Integrating and making independent creates confusion and lots of rumors, but it doesn't create value. It's important to change things. This is what we are planning. And I think the diagnosis is clear. We know what's to be done. Now, if you so wish, all this needs to be decided upon, to be harmonized with all stakeholders and solve the problems by agreement and then start working. The potential to increase value is great, but it needs to be tapped. It's a lot of work, but there are many possibilities as well. Pensions, well, it's true that there's still 4 billion gaps in pensions. We had tremendous increases because of the good equity markets. We very early on, and you remember, Ms. Schaefer, our interview 18 months ago when you asked me, what's your worry about the financial and economic crisis? And I said, look at the pensions. Well, that has come true. Early on, we gave up all government bonds. And at the end of the last calendar year, early this calendar year, we switched to corporate bonds. And the result is very satisfactory. In March and in May, we ventured into the stock markets, significantly raising the equity ratio. The deficit is still 4 because interests for the interests of PBO have dropped sharply, but they are going to rise again, and I'm sure it's just a question of time. So we're not worried. We can pay pensions. We have 10 billion liquidity in the company, which gives us flexibility and lots of space and also a certain level of relaxation when others talk about worries. Well, I'm not responsible for banning people off the premises, but both Mr. Löscher and the chairman of the supervisory board expressed their opinion about the agreement reached, and I think it is extremely good that Mr. Löscher emphasized that lifetime achievement and mistakes are not mutually exclusive. So the road is open and this can be acknowledged accordingly. So we can be happy that another chapter has been closed. Well, for the benefit of all of you, let me say that the next step is going to be the shareholders' meeting that will discuss the outcome. Well, I had a question about the whether you are going to sue other managers below the executive board level or whether you claim damages. Now, that's a different thing. If certain individuals have proved to have done wrong, we'll act accordingly. We've done so in the past, and it's going to be like this in the future as well.
Mr. Arnofsky and then Mr. Hildebrand. Mr. Löscher, good morning. Your report on the legal proceedings or the litigation is longer than the statement you presented. Now, I don't want to attach too much importance to this. I know that legal people have a bit of a problem making things short. A while ago, you presented Theo Weigel as compliance monitor. My question is, what is he doing? Does he have a lot of work? And my second question, which picks up on what's just been said, what is the most important aspect of the agreement achieved yesterday? And do you think that agreement will be endorsed by the AGM? Because Mr. von Pira said that this is not admitting guilt, or but rather avoiding unpleasant litigation. Then this mountain tour of Siemens, I think most people know mountains better than complex corporate balance sheets, but of course this gives me the opportunity to ask, every mountaineer, every pro plans very carefully their tour and has an exact image or picture of what they're going to think. So when does the Alpine section of Siemens plan to be at the top again? And can you give us some color on that, Mr. Hildebrand? Can you give Mr. Hildebrand a microphone, please? Mr. Löscher, I wanted to pick up on the discussion with Mr. Kern. Margin corridors, what sense do they make if we say from the start we're not going to achieve them? So wouldn't it make more sense then to adjust them and make them more realistic? And my second question, you said you don't have a number or a figure regarding restructuring and possible reduction of jobs, which of course
is cause for a certain reservation or a certain alarm maybe in your company, and would it not be a good point here to create some clarity? And then the portfolio cleanup, which is another big topic. You said that in the past business year, 2.5 billion. Maybe you, if you don't want to give us a figure, can you give us an impression at least what you expect in the next fiscal year? Do we have to expect the same order of magnitude, or will it be smaller, that figure? So I'll start with Mr. Arnofsky. It is certainly a good sign that the independent monitor, Theo Weigel, is working. And the shareholders, of course, I cannot in any way anticipate a decision by the AGM. It is a good thing that there has been agreement. This is a great step forward, and it's a step towards being able to shut that book. And of course, our predecessors and former colleagues, of course, we want to be able at some point to appreciate their achievements. Well, mountaineering and our way to the top, we're on the way. We have three peaks, our sectors, and we are clearly focused on them. We want to be number one or at least number two. And of course, there are certain valleys we may have to cross. One will be the difficult year 2010, but the look ahead is clear and the direction is clear as well. And shall I take the next one, Mr. Hillebrand? Mr. Hillebrand, it was quite deliberate that we kept our targets in place. We are in a unique situation. For the first time in 80 years, the world economy shrunk. Industrial production went down by 10%. There have been massive distortions also in the conditions of our customers, the car industry, the steel industry. So it doesn't make a lot of sense to sit down and say, right, shall we think about adjusting the individual figures for the next year? We have a clear target, we have a program, and this is something we're going to execute as far as we can. But of course, I want to be honest and not raise too high expectations, saying all divisions have a realistic chance to be there at the end of 2010. In the short term, we have issued a guidance, very clear. That's very clear for the company as a whole. And this is, of course, also a clear statement. 6 to 6.6 operational business, we stated why we believe that the high order backlog, and it's the second highest compared with 07, is higher by 8 billion. And this gives us confidence that in revenue we will medium term have only one digit negative impacts. And I think this is a clear statement for the whole company or for the whole group as a whole. Now, jobs. I will be just as frank. Nobody can say today, and unfortunately we don't have to, there is no group-wide program. The individual business and division CEOs are responsible for their global business, and they have to define within their discretion what's going to happen, what adaptations are necessary, in what locations, or what increases may be necessary. And then resources will be fine-tuned. And we will always, as we do always, discuss this with employees, inform them, and then adapt. It can be a growth program, it can be a reduction program, and I think this is something we have to do. We owe this to our staff, and it's certainly also a matter of good order. The portfolio cleanup, I think I've been able to give you that impression, that there are always opportunities on both sides for further acquisitions. Technology will be a clear focus, of course, and there will be other adaptations. This is why I've tried to say that Siemens Video and others, size like that, are out of the question. These are all measures to just round off the picture. Now I have four more requests for the floor, and I will call those four, then we'll be able to answer them maybe. I'll start with Mr. Stahl, Mr. Decker. Could you show me your hand? Yes, and then Mr. Weiss, and finally Mr. Müller. Mr. Stahl, Mr. Löscher, Siemens is greener, has become greener, softer maybe, or more feminine, under your leadership, and the ban for Mr. Pira to enter the premises. Is he allowed to enter the canteen or the cafeteria? Mr. Decker? Mr. Löscher, I have a question on the portfolio. This is sort of the main question, isn't it? There's a lot of unrest here. Are you planning in the long term to divest the technology, the IT? Which area? IT, information technology. So where Siemens comes from, if you like. So is it possible that you will divest it? And we heard about SIS and NSN. My question is it possible that this will be, that your long-term target is to drop this? Because here you're not number one or even number two. I will never forget how Mr. Kleinfeld once, when you were higher than General Electric, read facts from them saying, it's so lonely at the top. Welcome. So this is, of course, also a problem. If you have these three sectors and the rest is cleaned up, then your whole bandwidth of innovation also in society may get lost, and you will only look at the profitable businesses. So my specific question here is, how much R&D expenditure is planned in basic research or information technology? And then Mr. Weiss, three short questions. Your leadership claim in audiological technology, can that still be achieved? And oncology, will that be made a private limited company? And one sentence on Osram. During the fourth quarter, things didn't look very good. What would have to happen looking ahead so that that area will do as well as you would like it to? Mr. Müller, with your forecast, there's a reservation or a caveat, the condition that during the year there will be no, or there is no further decrease of prices. Could you maybe give us the mechanism or the change? Could you describe that? And against the background of talking about the danger of inflation, what you stated sounds more like deflation. Now, the hearing aid business is a high-margin business. When we look at the margins of your competitors, maybe this is why you would like to keep it on board, or maybe not. Can you give us some information on what you're expecting in terms of margin development? Thank you very much, Mr. Stahl. I think your second question has been answered. The next step is, of course, a decision to be taken by the AGM regarding the settlement. Well, I'm quite happy also with regard to the green portfolio, the way we picture ourselves or how we position ourselves. Today, this is an important competitive advantage. our green portfolio is not something that came overnight. We've communicated this from July 2008. The innovation leadership and our competence goes back decades before us. So today, when we talk about renewal discussions, this is an important competitive advantage, that we have this width, and we are well underway towards our 2011 targets. And I'm convinced that we have good prospects of actually hitting that target. And after being, or since we're represented in 190 countries, being the most global industrial company in the world, I believe that we'll be able to recruit talent in these 190 countries, and we'll be able to use, to harness that talent for our future-oriented business as early as possible, and have a lot of potential for our staff. This is going in exactly the right direction. We've done a great first step, but it is, of course, a medium-term program. Many things here can be done in addition to that, but we've taken the first step, and I think I can say that I'm quite satisfied here. The emerging markets we discussed, this is also the game in which Siemens is very good. We've addressed Russia, we've been there since 1853, and China since 1872. So these are all country markets which we understand very well, where we're positioned very well, and where we have great growth opportunities. And we will quite deliberately use those. So I think things are really going into the right direction here. Quick answer to the other questions. Now, we have very limited time. You talked about the communication technology, Mr. Decker. Now, these parts are parts of joint ventures, the Giga Set, and also the network technology. I cannot tell you the R&D expenditure because we are only part of the joint venture. We have no access to that information and no influence, so it's not part of Siemens R&D costs. I think it's right that Mr. Löscher concentrates or focuses the company on these three areas. And communication technology, the problem is that no additional benefit or value can be generated because the revenue per party is going down, and the capacities are higher than used or than will be used by the world population. So here we'll have a lot of pressure and consolidation in this area. And looking back, I think it would have been better to take a clearer decision. But of course, it is what it is. And we'll just take the next steps. Regarding the deterioration of prices, Mr. Müller mentioned this, I think. We don't see any significant indication that prices will deteriorate further. But there are two elements which can lead to this, to such a deterioration from experience. One is underutilization of manufacturing capacity. And when you see how in some parts of the industry sector we have such underutilization, it is possible that such shifts may come when people get nervous. The other thing is, of course, exchange rates, the value of the different currencies, and there's always the potential that whoever produces in low or cheaper countries, they can use that position. These are the two motivations or the two reasons why we looked at this separately. Right. Thank you very much. I would like to point out that at 16:30, 4:30, there will be an analyst conference in London. You can follow this on the internet. I'll see you back on the 26th of January, the Q1, in the Olympia Hall in Munich. Now, for the time being, we're looking forward to seeing you next year. I hope you'll have a good Christmas season. And, of course, outside, there's an opportunity to continue discussions. Mr. Löscher now has to give a TV interview, but he will be available later on. Thank you very much.